it's like there's so much frenetic activity and things going on and people coming and going, and that it's like there's some kind of Christmas vortex or holiday vortex, and everybody gets sucked into it and never to be heard from or seen again. And you know, but 2019 is right here, and we got to get ready for it. But I don't know if we're ready for it. You know, we were driving in this morning, and I think as we were coming up Broadmoor, there was a squirrel coming across the street. We were driving this way, and the squirrel was running across the road this way. And the closer we got, I saw him, and he was running, and he was stretched out, and he was at a pretty good speed. But when he saw that we were getting too close for comfort, he pulled his tail up, and he kicked it into hyper gear. I've never seen that before. He tucked it in, and he took off. And I think that's sort of where we are at. We're here in 2019, and we need to tuck it in and take off and get ready for this year and all that it holds for us and God's vision for our church and us and our lives and new relationships and possibilities. And just it all is there waiting for us. And you know, as it comes to the end of the year, I spend a lot more time thinking about God's vision for me. You know, what is God's vision for me in the upcoming year? What does God have in store for me? What does he have in store for our church? What's waiting for me and my family in 2019? And you know, dear God, what is it that you have for me and that you want me to accomplish and to be and to do this next year? What is your hope and vision for me? And, you know, the question becomes also, what is God's vision for you? What does God have in store for you this upcoming year? What are the possibilities that lie out there that God wants you to maybe realize and experience? What are maybe some things you haven't attempted before? Some things that God needs you to do? Some chances God may need you to take? What is God's vision for you this year? You know, just as God has visions for people and individuals and men and women, God has visions for churches and for us. You know, I was visiting Dwayne the other evening at the hospital, and there was a young attendant there named Andy ministering to Dwayne, whose great joy was to sit up with Dwayne all night long. I cannot think of a worse job to have. But he was there caring for Dwayne. And before I left, I prayed for Dwayne and for Alice. But as he was in the room, I prayed for him as well. I prayed for him in his future. I prayed for him and God's vision for him. I prayed for what God had in store for him in his life as he was a nurse in training, learning to become a nurse and care for other people. And God's vision for us. You know, in the secular world, they're all about this thing called vision. You know, vision is that thing that gives direction to an organization that all the resources and energy are funneled into. Vision is that which gives clarity to who we are, but who we're not yet. It is a kind of futuristic target that everyone can sort of hone in on and look at and then make sure that everyone is going in the same direction to achieve this vision that is out there that is beckoning and calling to us. You know, vision helps marshal resources together. Vision helps us understand what we need to do day in and day out so that work is not just mundane and ordinary, but it is extraordinary, and it gives purpose. Vision empowers people, encourages people. It sees us as making a difference bigger than ourselves, and vision is what God has for his people. In fact, vision is so important that in the Bible it says, God says, where there is no vision, people perish. And God's vision for this world is a church across this planet that is so empowering and so life transforming that Jesus said the gates of hell itself will not be able to stand against it. And as out of God's vision for these, the church is God's vision for this church of bringing people to God through Jesus Christ. You know, bringing people to God through Jesus Christ is our future target where we place our resources and our time and effort and energy. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ is what encourages us to get up every day and to pray and to seek God's face. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ calls us to give our best to Him because He first gave His best to us. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ is so critical to who we are that if we do not do this and we do not accomplish this, if we fail to bring this about, then we utterly fail. And our passage today is all about this vision, God's vision of bringing people to God to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. The years around AD 30, John the Baptist is ministering. He's been telling the world about Jesus and baptizing people. Jesus is just getting ready to begin His ministry. And we're in an area of a small town named Bethany, and it's by the River Jordan. And John's ministry is full speed. Jesus' ministry is getting ready to start. And we pick up the scene as Jesus walks by John. And we read these words from John chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." All right. Before John was even born, an angel had come to his mother Elizabeth and told her that she was going to have a son, and that they were to name their son John. And the whole purpose of John's existence was to prepare a people, the people of Israel, for the coming of the Lord. So when John was born, his whole purpose, his whole future for his life had been determined and decided for him. That his whole reason of being in existence was to point everyone who would listen, who would give him a hearing, to point people to Jesus. And so he knew God's vision for him. He understood God's vision for his life, his whole life. And on the one occasion when Jesus came to be baptized by John, John said to Jesus, "Hey, I'm not worthy to baptize you, and rather I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus, I'm so unworthy. I'm not worthy enough to fasten your sandal." And at a different time when John's disciples were jealous of Jesus because Jesus was baptizing more people than John was baptizing people, John says to disciples, "Hey, I must become less so that Jesus might become greater." And as Jesus is walking by, John sees him, and instead of calling attention to John's ministry, to what God was doing through John, to the people that John was baptizing, to the difference that he was making in the world, John focuses the eyes of his disciple on Jesus, and he points them to Jesus, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of the world." Isn't that an interesting phrase, the Lamb of the world? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. You know, he could have said, "Behold the Son of God," or "Behold the Messiah," or "Behold the one who is to deliver the people of Israel." But as Jesus points his disciples to Jesus, fulfilling God's vision for his life, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." You see, John is sensitive to the people who are listening to him. He knows his audience. The people he is talking to, they're everyday people. They're shepherds. They're They're farmers. They're people that come from small villages. They're people of the land. And they're speaking to people who know about sheep, who have seen sheep, who have reared sheep, who have eaten sheep and sheared sheep, and people who above anything else know what it is to sacrifice their sheep, to sacrifice their lambs for God. But this one, as John looks at him, he says, but this is God's lamb, the Lamb of God. You sacrifice your lambs to God, but this is God's lamb that he's going to give to be a sacrifice for you. And by using Jewish words and Jewish images drawn from their Jewish life and culture, he did whatever he could, whenever he could, to point people to Jesus. You know, later on, another of Jesus' disciples, Paul, he got this. He understood what John was about in pointing people to Jesus. And as he was engaged in his ministry out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul writes these words about himself. He says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Paul did what John the Baptist was doing, which was pointing people to Jesus, using their words, taking in their context, understanding their cultures, how they thought and who they were and how they functioned, to put Jesus in a way that they could understand it so that they might see him and be transformed by him. You know, when I'm doing Army Reserve duty and I'm talking to soldiers, I use military acronyms to point them to Jesus. When I am with athletes and guys who play basketball and football, I use athletic analogies, sports analogies, to try to put Jesus in a way that helped for them to help see him. When I am with the professors or the staff at the University of Illinois, I use big words and huge concepts to try to put Jesus in a way and point them to Jesus in a way that they might be able to see him. And when I am in church and I'm among Christians, I use the Bible to point Christians to Jesus. And to reach people no one is reaching, we've got to be willing to do what no one else is doing. And God's vision for John was to point people to Jesus. And that's his vision for Temple Baptist too. Verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. See, like John, not only are we to point others to Jesus, but once they begin following Jesus, we are to help them be discipled by Jesus. And they spent the entire day with Jesus from 10 a.m. until they finished that evening, understanding what he was all about. You know, when I talk to believers about Temple Baptist Church and our vision, bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, I've had on more than one occasion them ask me, well, where do I fit into this vision? I said, what do you mean? Well, I said, if you're all about bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, but I'm already a believer and I've already been brought to God through his son Jesus Christ, then what does Temple have to offer me? And I tell them, well, exactly the same thing. Because believers need to be brought closer to God through Jesus Christ as well. You know, I am many years a believer. I became a Christian, gave my profession of faith at the age of 8. I've done 7 years of seminary. I'm a minister and the son of a minister. But there are some days I just don't act that way. There are some days I don't say the things I should say. There's some days I don't live the way I should live. You don't believe me? Just ask Carol and just ask my kids. They'll be the first ones to tell you. Sometimes I'm embarrassed with myself and the God I serve. And at the age of 59, I'm still striving to meet Jesus' challenge to us as his followers, to be perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And I realize and understand I will never fully achieve that. But I also desperately know that I desperately need each of you. And I desperately need this community of faith to help me become the man of God he has created me to be. To move closer to God through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, it is every bit as important for believers to be brought closer to God through Jesus Christ as it is for unbelievers to come to faith and be brought to God through his son, Jesus Christ. Because if we are not where we need to be in our relationship to God through his son, Jesus Christ, then we have very little hope of bringing them where they need to be, from where they are to where they need to be in their relationship to God through his son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we're all in this process of growing closer to God through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why our community groups are so important. You see, it's in our community groups when we gather in our homes, in the Eden Center, where we're gathered to huddle around, that you know, unbelievers become believers and believers become disciples. It is in our community groups that we are able to be open and transparent and real and share our feelings and our lives together. And it's there in our community groups that we are able to expose people who don't know anything about Jesus and have their misconceptions and misunderstandings, but to allow them to see Jesus in us, so that as they see Jesus in us, that we would point them to Jesus so that he might change them. And that's why we're committed to worship. You know, in worship, we gain a sense of who God is and who we are not. And as in worship, we hear about Jesus through his word. And it's in worship that we sing praises to Jesus. You know, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And it is in worship that we get inspired and are fueled up and are encouraged so that we go back into the world and do what God has called us and created us to be and to do. And we're not finished yet. And in fact, we're still just beginning. And God's vision for John was to point other people to Jesus. And God's vision for John's disciples was to go and spend time with Jesus so that they could become disciples of Jesus. And out of their time of being discipled with Jesus, we find that God's vision for Andrew was to bring his brother Peter to be changed by Jesus. Verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. You know, did you hear those words? The first thing. The very first action after Andrew had spent that day with Jesus, the very first thing he did when after he understood what Jesus was about and who he was, the very first thing was that he went to his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. One person bringing another person to Jesus. That was God's vision for Andrew, and Andrew began to live it. Bringing people to God through Jesus is God's vision for every believer. Bringing people to Jesus, bringing people to God through Jesus is God's vision for every church. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ is God's vision for Temple Baptist Church. And this coming year, together, we're going to realize it. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Will you join me? Will you go with me? Can we do this? I bet we can. Dear God, thank you for this time of worship we have had this morning. Man, bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, through our children's ministry, Miss Julie and the good news she shared this morning. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, through Bob and through Brent and through the ministry of the Eden Center. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, through Dwayne and Alice and the ministry with our Chinese students and the conversational English groups. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, through our ministry here at Temple Baptist Church and the influence we have on My Morning Now. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, through Champaign Chinese Christian Church, who's experienced baptisms and who worships in our facility. Bringing people to God through Jesus Christ, through each and every one of our lives, as we leave the sanctuary, as we move out into the world, into the places where we work, in the neighborhoods where we live, to our friends and family members, bringing people to God through Jesus Christ. This is what we're about. And this is what we will do. And dear God, as we move into this new year, help us to be able to do it and to realize it and experience and to see Your vision for us. In Jesus' name we pray.